This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome back. And Layla, our next question is about Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
By the way, questions come to radioprogram@AOL.com and send them over the holidays because we'll need a big stack of questions when we resume in January.
Yes. We've got an email from Galina. Galina is a journalist in Bulgaria.
Uh-huh.
I recently saw the video of the patient with Parkinson's who was treated with N-acetylcysteine by Dr. Perlmutter.
Okay.
I also saw that you were also doing this therapy. I'm very interested, first personally, as my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's 10 years ago.
Isn't that something she listens to us in Bulgaria?
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's very cool. My father was diagnosed with Parkinson's 10 years ago and his symptoms worsen. And secondly, as a journalist, please, could you give me more info on the therapy? Do you still use this with PD patients? And what are your results?
Yeah. Okay. Results may vary because Parkinson's is a progressive degenerative disease.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not going to claim that there's a slam dunk magical cure for Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. But over my career, our Parkinson's disease patients have progressed very slowly.
Yes.
They've improved in many cases.
Yeah.
They have had a more benign course of Parkinson's, and we can stave off the Parkinson's. So what I say to them is, look, I think there are going to be tremendous breakthroughs in the treatment of Parkinson's disease in the next decade or two. Mm-hmm. Let's keep you as intact as possible so that you can take advantage of them and you're not, you know, don't completely lose your substantia nigra, which is the source of dopamine that propels movement, mm-hmm, and promotes motivation and thinking.
Yeah. I believe I know the video that Galina is referring to because, mm-hmm, I remember seeing a video at one of the integrative healthcare symposiums. This was several years ago. It had to be about 5 or 6 years ago. Where, and this is a yearly conference that happens around February here at the New York Hilton in New York City. This particular video showed a man with Parkinson's. They showed his gait, mm-hmm, as it was, which was typical for a Parkinson's gait. And after the IV therapy that Dr. Perlmutter administered, which I believe was glutathione,
right,
and NAC,
N-acetylcysteine
is the precursor, mm-hmm, his gait improved. Oh my God! By 90%.
It was a very dramatic.
Because I remember I was welling up.
Dramatic video.
I was just about crying watching.
Dramatic
this
video.
It was very dramatic, and he did very, very well. But apparently, this treatment does need to be followed up often because it can wear off.
Right.
And this person was getting drips 2 to 3 times a week.
And it's so that is expensive, and
yeah,
it's not everybody has access to drips.
Yeah.
And you know it. There's some long-term benefits, but it has to be maintained.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is we want to focus on glutathione support for, mm-hmm, the brain. And you can support glutathione by giving N-acetylcysteine or,
yes,
some orally absorbed glutathiones. Mm-hmm. There's some products that are sublingual. There's some products that are in patch form.
Yeah.
These can deliver glutathione. There's also ME3. Which is the Dr. O'Hara's product that generates glutathione.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm, it's a probiotic that generates glutathione within the body. So that's another alternative. It's also, we like to work on the mitochondria. So high-dose coenzyme Q10, as much as, you know, 800, 1,000, 1,200 of CoQ10, or maybe 600 to 800 of ubiquinol.
Yes.
We really push high doses
of that. Both
together, yeah. Also, because another thing that supports the mitochondria is True Niagen, which is nicotinamide riboside. Mm-hmm. That might be supportive.
Yeah.
There is some research on, you know, antioxidants, you know, things like curcumin and sulforaphane for the brain. Mm-hmm. These can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Some research that shows that maintaining adequate vitamin D is important for Parkinson's, that the course of patients taking vitamin D is more benign than if you don't.
What about alpha-lipoic?
Alpha-lipoic acid, which
is... What about acetylcholine?
Acetylcholine, possibly. Although that's less so. Acetylcholine is less than dopamine. There's some research on Mucuna, which is a natural support for dopamine, but many patients are already taking dopaminergic drugs, like L-DOPA and Cinnamon. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of a belt and suspenders if you're already taking a medication that increases your dopamine. Some interesting research on uric acid in the blood and Parkinson's. It appears that Parkinson's patients have low uric acid. Mm-hmm. And by raising uric acid in some research, you can help that. So what raises uric acid? There's an amino acid called inosine, which will put patients on. Inosine raises uric acid. You've got to make sure that you monitor the uric acid because it goes too high.
You don't want it too high. You don't want to get gout.
You can get gout.
Right? Yeah.
But uric acid, interestingly, is a bad thing because it causes gout. But in low levels, it's an antioxidant. It protects the brain.
Hmm.
And inadequate levels may predispose to maybe certain neurodegenerative diseases. Also, let's consider the toxicity issue with Parkinson's because we know that chemical toxins in farmers, herbicides, and pesticides can promote neurodegenerative disorders.
Yeah.
So maybe even heavy metals are worth looking at, too, as part of an overall detox protocol.
Right.
You know, maybe it's time for another recap on Parkinson's supplements.
Yeah.
You know, we can look at that in a future article or podcast.
Wow. Galina, thank you for writing us. Best of luck to your father.
And thanks for listening over there in Bulgaria. Spread the word among the Bulgarians.
Yes.
This is a way to learn.
Yeah. We have an email from Harry. Oh, this is very interesting. I eat gorgonzola cheese regularly, which is made with Penicillium glaucum mold. Am I destroying my microbiome?
Well,
the internet has conflicting views.
Well,
what do you say? Don't go to the internet for your advice,
I'm pretty sure that the penicillium is not so potent that it's like taking oral penicillin.
Right.
There's probably some antimicrobial effect, maybe, of the gorgonzola cheese. If the penicillin is viable, you know, after all the processing. I doubt if it's live penicillium mold. Because everything is pasteurized these days.
True.
You know, I don't think
unless you're getting it imported.
Gorgonzola made on a farm that's not, you know, regulated or something. And the internet talks about this?
Yeah. The internet has conflicting views.
Oh, there's a gorgonzola cheese controversy?
So
people are hurling insults at one another on Twitter about the advisability or lack thereof of gorgonzola cheese.
Yeah.
I haven't really waded into the gorgonzola cheese controversy on the internet yet.
Right. So there are lots of strains of penicillium. They're not all antibiotics. Some may be probiotic. For example, Candida albicans is a bad critter, but... Candida, the other one in Saccharomyces cerevisiae, is a beneficial
yeast, for example. It's a similar species, but it's sort of yeast against yeast.
It's yeast against yeast.
It's a competitive species. So that's Saccharomyces or Florastor is actually something that is a fungus that may suppress the bad candida.
Right.
Yeah.
So as far as this particular mold in gorgonzola...
We can't draw any conclusions.
Yeah. It's the same type of bacteria that makes the holes in Swiss cheese and ripens all kinds of other things.
I will say there's probably some vitamin K2 in there, which beneficial.
Oh, yeah.
For cardiovascular and for bone. I mean, that's why these studies, which have overturned this dogma that you want to have low-fat cheese and you don't want to have any dairy because of cardiovascular. Well, actually, people who consume high-fat cheese that's aged and fermented, that produces a lot of vitamin K2.
Right. Just like the vitamin K is also formed in our gut.
By bacteria.
As long as you've got the good bacteria
in the culture for the cheese, synthesize vitamin K2, which is heart healthy. So it's called the Dutch paradox. They consume a lot of cheese, and they're relatively free of cardiovascular disease.
Which really goes against the question that we got a week or two ago.
Right.
Somebody wrote in saying, my cardiologist told me you should stop eating cheese. That's the food to stop eating.
That's the number one food to stop eating. So,
not necessarily the case. Well, if you were eating, you know, processed cheeses like Velveeta and stuff, or cheese was out of a can, I would certainly stop eating that because that's kind of not the best quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about good, well-cultured, well-aged, and as long as you don't have a yeast problem or other such problem, it's likely beneficial for you.
So here's an interesting one. If you are allergic to penicillin, can you eat Stilton?
Ah, so Stilton is another.
So Stilton is made from the fungus Penicillium chrysogenum. So they say Stilton and other cheeses, I'm looking at this is under Science Focus, which looks like a pretty legit website. If you're allergic to penicillin, can you still eat Stilton? People often claim to be allergic to penicillin without proper testing and verification. But a clue is if you've taken penicillin and you break out into a body-wide rash, it's likely you're allergic to penicillin and you should avoid it going forward. And a lot of people are allergic to penicillin.
True.
So it says, it is possible to be allergic to the drug and still be able to eat the cheese with impunity, although there are also people who are allergic to both. And it's also worth noting that only 20% of people who think they're allergic to penicillin actually are, as I said. You know, because they think they're allergic to penicillin, but, so.
Interesting.
That's a little sidelight there.
Yeah.
But, people who have unexplained symptoms, it's sometimes worth looking at their diet to see if their food triggers.
Yeah.
You know, there's some foods that are high in histamine or may trigger histamine production. People have idiosyncratic allergies to one thing or another, and if they eliminate that food or that ingredient, they're better.
Right.
Often with skin conditions, hives, rashes, things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Harry, we hope this answers your question.
Yeah.
Okay. We have actually a repeat email from David. David wrote to us before about suspicious subcutaneous fat loss. Yeah. So David says, this began 5 years ago when I was 41 years old. So he's in his 40s still.
If I recall, we call this lipodystrophy.
Yeah.
Which is a change in the distribution of fat.
Yeah.
And recently we saw one of our HIV patients that I've actually been treating since 1994. And so that's quite a span of time. That's 25 years.
Yeah.
And the guy is still doing okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The miracle of it is that he got life-saving HIV medication at the right time. Many of his peers were too advanced to receive the medication and passed away before the innovations of the 1990s.
Yeah.
But he has a zero count on his...
Non-detected.
Undetectable for the HIV virus.
Yeah.
However, the medications do cause side effects.
They do.
And among them is lipodystrophy. So what he has is he has very sort of a hollowed out facial fat, you know, which, you know, is something that happens anyway as people age. You know, they lose facial fat. They're... you know, so they're sometimes that's why they put in plastic surgeons and cosmetic surgeons inject fat or insert fat or and to make you features look more rounded,
mm-hmm.
and the contours. And similarly, on his body, he has a little bit more abdominal fat, so the fat's not gone away altogether. It's just sort of found its way to the wrong places.
Yeah.
And that's a characteristic of some of the HIV medications.
Yeah, yeah. So David says...
But also it's a feature of aging.
Right, right. It's a feature of aging. David's only 46, 47.
Right.
My waist rib cage seems unusually lean because there is no fat cushion between my skin and my ribs. My diet is high calorie, not low carb, not paleo, and I do get foggy after eating fruit. I'm wondering if he's not putting on any fat or there is a loss of fat, is there any insulin in his body at
right.
work anymore?
You know, that's another thing too is, you know, we want to check his blood sugar metabolism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
and your insulin level.
A feature
of weight loss.
Weight
could
loss
be
is
diabetes.
The onset of loss of insulin production by the pancreas.
Yes. Loss of insulin production and then a sudden weight loss like
which
this.
Which is the opposite of what people get with insulin resistance in type 2
yes.
diabetes. They just can't lose fat. They're like
yeah.
big bellies and a
right.
lot of accumulation.
Even though they eat very, very little, but
right.
they keep eating that breakfast cereal
the
and that skim milk.
Promotes weight gain. And in
yeah.
fact, insulin is used by bodybuilders to build muscle and to put on weight.
Mm.
They take it, you know, illicitly
mm.
as a weight mm-hmm. augmentation strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, that's a good thought. I don't know what's going on with him. This would require some analysis to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just genetically programmed to have, you know, it's some people are cursed and some people are blessed when it comes to subcutaneous fat.
Yeah.
We have some patients and I see, you know, people in the gym who look like they have very little body fat and some mm-hmm. of it is... a merit system, you know, because they exercise like crazy.
Yeah.
But there are other people who exercise like crazy, and these are the men and the women who sometimes they say, I exercise like crazy, but I still have to go for liposuction because I can't get rid
yeah.
of the fat deposits.
Yeah.
The fat, you know, it's like my arms, I want to look, you know, like chiseled, but I have that sort of rounded look. You know, I'm strong and I'm healthy, but I just have deposit fat under my skin.
Mm.
Some of that's determined.
Yeah.
You know, by
and some of that is also determined by that banana muffin after the gym workout.
Yeah,
or something
sure. No,
like
true,
that.
True, true, true. I mean, they may be doing the wrong thing. But,
right.
You know.
Right. They'll go eat a fruit yogurt after that. But it's low in calories, but that's not always about the calories. Okay, that could be another thing. David, you need a workup by your doctor to see what your blood sugars and insulins are doing and how they are. If your body's not secreting enough insulin, that would be a reason for this very questionable concerning fat loss that you're concerned about.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other reason for that, but thank you again, David, for your email. All right. Let's see here. Oh, this is from Elaine. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I read so much about how good infrared sauna use is for your health. Most of the studies have been done in Finland on traditional saunas,
right.
not the infrared. What is your opinion of the infrared sauna technology specifically? Love the show. I listen to every podcast weekly. Thanks for all that you do.
Well, the nice thing about infrared saunas is that you don't have to build a sauna, you know, have a whole room dedicated to your
yeah,
sauna
yeah.
or, you know, build a big box with great expense. You can just, you know, I guess sit in a maybe, you know, like a metal chair or something like that and put a, like a tent over yourself
mm-hmm.
and it will sauna away. And there are benefits to heat treatment and
yeah.
to sweating because
sweating.
It induces sweating because it's it for people who are in the detox community, people who feel that they've been exposed to excessive chemical toxins benefit from the heat treatments because they cause you to sweat and you sweat is a way to reduce
yeah.
Your body burden of toxins because
mm-hmm.
you actually release some toxins in sweat. The other thing is there's definitely some benefits in terms of cardiovascular. Sometimes when I'm feeling, you know, like I have a cold or I don't feel well, I don't feel like working out, I'll just sit in the heat. I'll sit in the sauna and I'll sweat and I'll look at my pulse rate. And even without, you know, sitting motionless, I'll see my pulse rate go up to, you know, 80, 90, 95 with no exertion, I know that my cardiovascular system is getting a little bit of a workout.
Yeah, and that's
and there's studies that show that people who do that have better blood pressure.
Mm.
They have, improved circulation.
Mm.
You know, regular sauna.
Regular
folks.
Sauna and regular yeah. detox that way.
Interesting. A lot of these studies come out of Finland, which suggests that there's a, you know, sort of.
It's
a,
cold there.
It's a cold. it's cold. And also, every country promotes its culture, you know, so it's okay. Like, studies on the benefits of natto and tofu from Japan.
Yes.
And miso.
Uh-huh.
Studies on the benefits of red wine from France. Studies on the benefits of beer from Germany.
Yeah.
You know, it's like chocolate from Switzerland.
Right.
You know, and so on, so on, so on.
Right. Yeah. So that's interesting. So, yeah, regular sauna could be good. You want to be sure to hydrate. We can't stress the importance of hydration.
If you're going in the sauna, bring a bottle of water with you.
Yeah. And drink it.
Throw some electrolytes in it.
Right. And especially if you're heading to the sauna after your gym workout mm-hmm. or your run, you want to hydrate and then go in. Otherwise,
apropos
you're going to be
that,
very dehydrated.
I saw a study recently on the benefits of hot yoga for blood pressure
mm-hmm.
control. So that's a form, I mean, it's not quite sauna temperature, but it's warm and you sweat.
Yeah.
And, you're exerting yourself and it may accentuate the benefits of yoga. Yoga itself is beneficial for
yes.
autonomic regulation and for blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
cardiovascular. But hot yoga, the so-called,
Bikram yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big scandal with Bikram because he was like hitting on all his disciples. You know, it's like controversial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these gurus, you got to watch out for. It's like, those of you who consider me your guru, beware. Do not surrender your autonomy to anyone else.
That's true.
And, it's like your locus of control should come from within.
Yes.
And not from
always.
Outside.
Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of disciples.
Yeah.
I don't have any, really. I don't desire any disciples. just keep listening
Oops.
To the podcast. Oops.
That what you heard, ladies and gentlemen, was an iPad land on the floor.
Hey, it did pretty good.
It did pretty good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. That's good. Elaine, thank you for your question on sauna. Enjoy it and hydrate well, please, when you do.
Yeah. All right. So once again, let's wish everybody a happy holiday and, you know, enjoy more of these podcasts during the Christmas and Hanukkah lull.
Yes.
If you have a little more time in your hands or if you're traveling, download our podcasts and listen to them because it's a way to pass the time and be better informed and maybe enhance your health and those of your loved ones.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Layla.
Thanks, everybody. Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.